Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to Fansmanship Podcast, episode 77. On this episode of the podcast, I spoke with former Cal Poly point guard Amari Furman. Amari is getting ready to go play in Cyprus professionally this upcoming season. We talked about his season coming up. We talked about last year where he was the Dominican Republic Rookie of the Year in the Dominican League there. We talked about some of the challenges that he's sure to face in Cyprus, playing in Europe and so forth. We also talked a little bit about, I thought that Amari's game was always suited to maybe a little bit more of a pro game rather than a college game. So we talked a little bit about that as well. Among other things, Amari was gracious enough to speak with us. We were happy to have him. Amari Furman on the podcast, episode 77, right here on fansmanship.com.
How long have you been in L.A.?
I've been here for about a year now.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you've been like living in LA when you're not playing?
Yeah. Okay. After I graduated and did a few traveling across Latin America, I came back to Los Angeles. So I'm living up here now.
You're a New York guy. How do you like LA?
To be honest, man, this is more of a city. So I kind of related a little bit to New York, but, you know, I figured California changed a lot of things in my life, so I just wanted to stay in the West Coast a little bit and see how I could keep progressing with, you know, with a lot of success that I had so far.
Yeah. Tell me about playing basketball last year in the Dominican. I was actually, before I saw the press release or something that I saw about you going and playing in Europe and signing another contract, I was just kind of looking up randomly to see, you know, YouTube pictures or whatever, YouTube videos or whatever, of you playing in the Dominican. And it looked like there were a couple games there and a couple highlights on YouTube that looked like the atmosphere down there was pretty intense. Can you describe what it was like last season to play in the Dominican? I think the last time I talked to you, you were just headed down there.
Yeah, I played in one of the top divisions in the Dominican Republic right after the national team where I had a good experience with John Calipari and those guys. I went to Dominican Republic after that. Actually played real well. It was a big arena, you know, about 15 to 20,000 people in the game.
Wow.
You know, I love playing with a lot of people watching, so, you know, that's always been something that I always like to do. I wound up being Rookie of the Year of the league. My team finished first in the standings. We just happened to lose in the semifinals. We got upset, lost to a team that actually went on and won the championship. But it was a good experience. You know, professional basketball is a great experience. You know, being around good athletes and good players. You know, I'm still in the growth process of all this, but I'm having fun while I'm doing it.
Good. Glad to hear it. So you were the Rookie of the Year down there in that league. What's the biggest adjustment? Is it language? Is it playing with, you know, 35-year-olds in some cases, and going up against guys that are, you know, not that playing in college is, you know, not against full-grown men, but there's got to be some big, strong dudes when you talk about getting into any professional league, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, playing professional, you have to adjust to a lot of things, you know, adjust to the crowd, adjust to the referees and, you know, certain situations where you're not going to get a call that you used to get in college. Everybody's a pro, like a professional player, so, it's, you know, everybody's had great accomplishments in college or wherever they came from. So, you know, at first, you know, adjusting to that was quite different, but, you know, I've always been that type of guy that fought through a lot of things, and I like playing aggressive, and, you know, I bring that attitude to the game, and, you know, I've never really backed down from anybody as far as, you know, competing on that basketball stage, but it's all a new experience to me. You know, I definitely dealt with speaking with, you know, different people from different countries, but playing in the Dominican Republic was actually an advantage for me because I know the language. This is actually going to be my first time going to Europe, and I'm going to be learning a different language with a different coach, you know, a different atmosphere. But I spoke to the coach 2 days ago. You know, we had a good conversation, you know, of our game plans and what we got coming up this season. So it's all a new experience to me, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's basketball. I always love to play it, and, you know, it's a great experience to see it, to see myself going to another part of the world and actually doing it.
Yeah, so this season you're headed to Cyprus, and I actually wrote the team name down the other day in an article I wrote about Dylan Royer, who's playing down in Mexico for Nuevo Laredo down there on the border. And I wrote the name of the team over in Cyprus, but I don't remember it now off the top of my head. We're kind of doing this impromptu here. But tell me a little bit about what you know about the league there. Is the league actually, I would imagine it's not just in Cyprus, right? It's all over, or maybe it is just on the island there. But how does that work?
Basically, the team, you know, is called Ita and Gomez.
Uh-huh.
They are a top division team, Ita and Gomez.
Yep.
They're a top division team in Cyprus. You know, we play different in different cups. They call it different cups, but it's a professional basketball club in Cyprus. You know, the top league there. Cyprus is a well-known league as far as in Europe. You know, a lot of places where you go play in Europe, and it's not really respected as well. And you know, you feel like you lost a year. But, you know, Cyprus. I'm really grateful for, you know, getting the opportunities to play in Cyprus, and with the coach that I'm playing with, you know, it's actually a blessing, man, to be part of the Americans that are going over there as far as the team's limit. You know, I'm going to a top division as the first time, you know, and that's actually, I think it's going to be great for me. You know, I think it's a great atmosphere. You're looking at 15,000 to 20,000 people in the crowd, you know, it's great, man. It's great. They play in Europe. They play in different cups. You know, it's not just Cyprus, but, you know, the actual league is like Cyprus, yeah.
Yeah, we actually spoke. We had Christina Santiago on the podcast a little bit ago, and she was talking about playing in Bulgaria and, you know, the different tournaments that they have, like you said, the cups. It's a lot like in soccer where there's different kind of different competitions all happening all at once over there, which makes it super interesting. You probably get to travel a lot, especially if the team that you're going to is good. As far as Cal Poly and guys going to play overseas now, and girls too, I mean, with Christina, does the name does more people going from Cal Poly help you out at all, or is it kind of a thing where you just kind of, once you're in the pros, you have to make your own way, or is it a situation where kind of the more guys that are playing overseas from that program, the more that program gets looked at, or guys from that program get looked at too? What do you think?
Me and Coach Calero and the coaches staff there, man, we really, you know, it's fun for me because, you know, what we spoke about when I first actually made a verbal commitment to go to Cal Poly, you know, it's really happening now. You know, he basically told me and a few of the other guys, Will Donahue, Will Taylor, that came in that year and got tagged up with guys like David Hanson and Jordan Lewis and those guys. You know, it was, you know, he basically said, you know, guys, you guys are going to be the foundation of this. You guys are going to make things happen, and it's going to build the program to where it actually is right now. So, you know, I'm actually really, really happy that everything's going the way it's going with Cal Poly basketball and the Cal Poly community. You know, I definitely think that, you know, I was a big part of it, you know, coming in from the East Coast and bringing alongside Will Taylor, and, you know, and we did a little run. I mean, we didn't get the Big West Championship, but we led on to better recruits coming in, better records coming in. You know, we got big-time schools that want to play Cal Poly now. And, you know, I just feel like I'm a big part of the accomplishment of what Cal Poly is now, and all the other guys, you know, as far as Lorenzo Keeler, you know, big-time player there. David Hanson went on, and I guess he's coaching at Pittsburgh or something like that. Dylan Roy is a great surprise, you know, but, you know, other guys like Drake, you know, they're feeding that on alongside Christina Santiago, you know, one of the best women college players that ever played. You know, and I'm just grateful, man. I'm grateful that I was part of that foundation, and you know, I still think, you know, in the future we got guys like Chris Evans be coming out. You know, no telling where he's gonna be ending up. So yeah.
Tell me about what the hardest adjustment you think is gonna be. Are you already kind of preparing yourself for the culture shock, like you talked about before? I mean, this past year you were in Dominican Republic. It's a place that you were relatively familiar with, having family from there, and being Dominican yourself. You're headed out to Europe now, like you said, where the language is different, where the culture is different. Is that something that you have to kind of mentally prepare for? Is it something that you're super excited about? Where on the scale do you fall as far as that goes, and getting prepared for all the things that are not basketball?
I just, you know, as far as the culture, I'm definitely, to be honest, my father played in professional basketball, and he played professional sport, and he was in Europe for 10 years, and, you know, I kind of, you know, hold my head and ask him a lot of questions of how he dealt with it, but I'm anxious to actually learn and know different things and different cultures. Me, myself, I came from a third world country, Dominican Republic, which, you know, I know the language and all that, but going to Europe is definitely going to be a great experience for me. I think I'm gonna adjust to the people real well, you know, because as much as you want to call it is business, and whatever you have in games you win and how the team treats you, and I think I will adjust real well with the players. I've always been that type of leader.
Yeah.
But as far as the culture, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, so Christina talked to us. You know, she was in the Bulgarian league, and she got to play in some cups, but she was the MVP of that league, and she talked about, you know, when you're an American, and I think it was her and one other American on the team that she was on last year, and she's headed to, I think, Israel this year to play, but she talked about when you're the American, or you're the, you know, you're the person who played college basketball in the U.S., the team looks to you, and when you win, it's great, but when you lose, it's kind of your fault too, in a way. Everybody looks at you as the person who's responsible. Is that kind of what you're expecting over there, or is it a situation where you might be able to kind of ease your way in a little bit more?
I feel like, you know, being a part of a team, you're always going to get, especially if you're one of the top players, you're always going to get some type of, you know, commentary as far as, you know, playing good or playing bad, and you know, that's something I've always dealt with throughout my whole life, so it's not going to be anything new. But I understand that, you know, as far as being an American, they want you to perform at a high level. Every game, you know, is about winning to them. You know, they want to see you win. They don't really care about the points. As far as their club is winning, you know, that's what it's about. You know, and I'm a winner. I've always been a part of teams that won in the past, and you know, I would do anything it takes to get the W and get the wins, you know, as far as, you know, being great. But
yeah.
I'll take the negative in that, too. You know, I know you can't win every game, so, but I'll be okay in that aspect, but I do understand my role.
Yeah, I have a question that kind of has to do with your game. I always looked at, you know, some of the, I know you had posted stuff from, you know, early on in college and high school. I'm kind of a YouTube rat, so I do check out videos of people from different times, and I kind of always looked at your game and saw it as one that may have been like best suited for professional basketball versus college basketball, where things might be maybe a little bit more opened up, games are a little bit longer, somebody can create off the dribble a little bit more, and maybe create for themselves. I felt like, you know, in college, you did what you needed to do, but I always felt like your game was a little bit more suited for the pro game in terms of just the style that you brought to it. Did you find last year that you were able to kind of come out of that a little bit more and exhibit some of the things that maybe you're best at as well?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, you know, I was going to Cal Poly was a big, you know, I wouldn't say a risk, but I would say it was something new for me, a new challenge, because, you know, I needed consistency in as far as basketball. I was going from school to school, injury, and, you know, the stuff that happened. You know,
right.
Going to Cal Poly, I understood my role. I understood I had to fall back from certain things, but coach knew that. You know, coach understood that, you know, I had to take responsibility of, you know, shot clock going 10, I got to make a play, you know, make plays, make passes for the team. And, you know, I did everything possible that, you know, for us to be successful, but we came up short. But when I got into the pro level, you know, I felt like I came out of that shell a little bit. I understood my role in college, but I knew I was ready for the pro level. I always worked out with guys, you know, professional basketball players that I'm friends with, you know, guys like Deitre Barea, Gravis Vasquez, you know, guys like Gilbert Arenas. I work out with these guys, and I've always been around those guys at an early age. So I looked at it as a, you know, my first pro game. I was so excited that I performed really well against a top point guard in the NBA, which is J.J. Barea, and then, you know, that kind of poured along, you know, that shell out of me, and, you know, now I'm just like, I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Right on. Hey, you said you hung out with all those guys. I'm interested. What's Gilbert Arenas like? I mean, he's gotten a lot of publicity, both positive and negative, over the last couple of years. You know, for the gun thing and the antics there. That's somebody you said you've worked out with or hung out with. What's he like to be around?
To be honest, Gilbert is a great professional. You know, he's a good guy. You know, actually we matched up against each. It's funny because we matched up against each other in a local gym here, 24-Hour Fitness. You know, we played against each other. I did my thing. He did his thing. But, you know, obviously he's an NBA player, and we got to talking, and he asked me what school I was going to, and I told him I got into the pro level, and we wound up exchanging information, you know, started hanging out, and then he actually introduced me to Derek Fisher and Katina Mobley, guys, and went to work out in Northridge a few times. And
there's some good,
you know,
pickup
now,
games. Yeah, there's some good pickup games down in LA in the off season, huh?
Yeah, right. So yeah. You know, I played a lot of guys. You know, Kyrie Fish, what's his name? Kyrie Irving is here. Gilbert Arenas, Katina Mobley. You know, I played against a lot of good guys. You know, I'm still stay in touch with Casper Ware, which is also a good player now. He developed his game into the pro level. And, you know, me and Gilbert, you know, I've learned a lot from him, just like I've learned a lot from other pro players. You know, I'm always a student of the game. You know, I may have the attitude that I want to do better. I am one of the best players when I'm on the court, but I've always been a student of the game. I always like to learn from dudes that have done it 5 to 10 years, you know, and Gilbert is a great, great individual, great professional player. You know, he had his fault, but he's on the verge of going to China again, and I think he got a shot at signing with Sacramento Kings this year. You know, that's something I've heard, but I'm not really sure.
Got it. Right on. So what's your like timeline look like? What is your schedule like? How long is the season? Is it basically as long as an NBA season, or is it kind of a little shorter than that, or what does that look like for you now that you're signed for the season to play in Cyprus?
Well, I have a guaranteed contract, so my sign is you know, I'm going to be there the whole season, which is going to be about six or seven months. We are supposed to be headed out there. I'm flying out on the 23rd. We have a cup. There's like a preseason tournament that we have on the 27th, all the way to the 1st. Where teams play against each other from, I guess, Turkey, Greece, and Cyprus as well. Something that gets guys going from the early season. And then all of October, is all training, you know, doing a lot of running, doing a lot of conditioning. And the season starts off in November and goes all the way to like April, I believe. So it's kind of a long season, but it's good. You know, keeps me in shape, keeps me going, gets me ready for the next level. The Europe thing is going to be great, man. I think, you know, everybody that's told me as soon as I get my foot in the door, you know, there's no way I'm getting out of it. So a lot of people look at me as I'm going to be a good professional athlete in Europe. So hopefully it turns out that way, but I'm coming as hungry as possible.
Great. Well, listen, Amari, I wish you all the best, and I hope you have a good time in Cyprus. We'll try to email correspond. I wasn't sure if you were already over there or not, so I asked for your email address that I have now. So I'll try to email correspond with you sometime during the season and check in on how you're doing. You can probably follow Amari. The best website is probably Eurobasket, I want to say, is what it's called. It has a lot of good stats. It's how I kept up with both Will last year out in Germany and Christina Santiago, and I'm sure I'll be keeping up with Amari Furman, who continues to play professionally, but there are a few other Cal Poly players who are playing professionally, including Dylan Royer in Mexico, Drake Yu in Australia, and I just heard Jordan Lewis is going to Israel, same country that Christina Santiago's in this year. So we'll try to keep up with all of them. Amari, thanks again, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Streetlights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Trouble Town. I can't find my way around Trouble Town. Front page of the news. Keep trying.